everyone. I'm Naveed Marty. You're watching AfterBuzz TV's Mini Spotlight On, and I'm joined by a voice that you've heard in most television, film, and commercials, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
There you go.
Wow, yeah.
We need a vintage car for this.
Yeah, we do.
It needs to be like carpool karaoke, just interviews. On Sunset.
Absolutely.
With this
the elbow out.
The elbow out. Feeling
down,
good.
Dogs panting in the back. You got the whole thing.
Exactly. That's and a girl in a bikini. I have to say, there has to be a girl in a bikini in the back. And a surfboard.
Oh, man. This whole picture is happening.
That's the whole picture. Hey, everyone. I'm Naveed Marty. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Mini Spotlight On. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm joined by Roy Samuelson, who you've heard on most television, radio, everything under the sun. Amazing voiceover artist. Thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here, Naveed. Thank you.
So, first off, for the people who may not know everything about a voiceover artist, can you please explain what it entails?
Oh, sure. There's many different kinds of voiceover, and anything that you hear, usually on the radio or TV or online or even, you know, the podcast that we're listening to right now, that's considered voiceover.
So true. It's, yeah. So I'm a voiceover artist?
Oh, dude, yeah. Totally. Oh,
I got to put that on my resume.
It's one more thing.
More special skills.
Resume.
Yeah, right. Voiceover. Can you walk?
Sure.
Put walking.
Sure. Everything. It's all there.
Everything. My resume is like 50 pages long.
Yeah.
I can brush my teeth, I promise.
Yeah, and you can image songs, too. It's like, okay, so there's this car going down. And, you know.
Now, is it – now all of a sudden I have Foley in my head, because that's also something that's sometimes you don't really know about, but it's such a big part of
a
production.
Yeah, and that's part of the post-production sound department.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, explain how you got into voiceover work. I know you've probably answered this question many times, but I want to know, like, the fun parts of it. You know, how did you fall into it? Did it just fall into your lap, or did you pursue it?
There was a job at Disney World.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's
okay.
How I started.
I got to hear this now.
Oh, dude, I always wanted to work for Disney World when I was a kid. And high school, I wanted to do it by high school, but I graduated high school and it didn't happen. So I went to school and college, and there was this opportunity called the Walt Disney World College Program.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go down there and you get a job at Disney, and you get to hang out with all these other college kids that were down there. And there was a job at what is now no longer an attraction called the Great Movie Ride.
Uh-huh.
And they had a host that was basically like this big, huge moving theater with like 60 people. And the host would like talk on mic. And then halfway through it, a gangster or a bandit would hijack the vehicle and take you through the scary movie parts.
Yeah.
And then they'd get blown up 6 minutes later. So I was doing that part as a gangster. And so I was on mic and I was playing a character. And every time I did it, it's the same show over and over and over again, right?
Yeah.
So that was the start.
And so did you have to audition for it, or how did you even get the bandit part to begin with?
Oh, it was the gangster, yeah. So the gangster part, it started off just as a – not just. I mean, all the parts were great. It was a host for the Great Movie Ride, and they kind of divvied us all up into different places in the whole Walt Disney World program. So there was all sorts of opportunities there.
Now, can you tell me about probably your funniest interview – I mean, audition that you've had to date, possibly?
Oh,
in the beginning, I'm sure it would be more toward the beginning of your career, but one of your most memorable auditions that you've had?
Well, it's going to be memorable because I didn't know what it was until afterward.
Okay.
So I auditioned for this – it was a video game part, and it was kind of this kind of brush, kind of aggressive teenager. And so I did the audition. I had a great time with it, and I got cast. And when I showed up, it was for Raphael for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game. So that was kind of like, oh –
huge deal, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
You're like, what? What?
Like, there was no time to prepare. It was just like, jump in, let's do it.
How many NDAs did you have to sign for that?
I think I'm still signing them. Yeah, like they send it to me in the mail. I just have to, you know, it's kind of like jury duty.
I'm sure.
I'm just kidding.
When was that?
That's a joke. That's a joke.
What time, you know, did that take place?
That was, I'm going to guess, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. And how... Since a few years ago, you know, technology has changed so much, you know, and I feel like most voiceover auditions that I see right now are like MP3 based.
Absolutely.
You just email your MP3s. You don't really show up anywhere right now for first call auditions, I suppose. And how has it changed the audition process for voiceovers?
That's a great question. There's still some auditions that do happen at casting offices.
Mm-hmm.
A majority of them do go through a computer. So it's an email sent to my agent. My agent sends it off however they send it off. And that's even evolving. Like I'm sure every 6 weeks there's this new technology, this new thing. But you're right. It is MP3s that are mainly sent for the auditions.
Yeah, because I feel like even as acting, it is self-tape. And that didn't happen maybe 5 years ago. It was more showing up still. And now it's kind of out of the equation for the most part. It's a lot of self-tape. So for the MP3s, it's now I mean, how many voices do you put into an MP3 for an audition? Like, this is stuff that I don't know, that I'm actually really intrigued. How many voices, how many characters, or do you specify, film it at your house, and I mean, record it at your house and then shoot it off?
Yeah, it really depends on the auditions. And my agents are really good about pigeonholing me in a good way. Like, mm-hmm. they know what my range is, and they'll take chances, but they know what I can deliver. So it's like, oh, here's Roy's. This is totally Roy. We're going to send it to him. And,
yeah.
You know, they still do spaghetti on the wall. They'll still send me something that's just out of the blue to see if we can have fun with it. But it really depends on what the specs are for each audition. So everything changes.
What has been your biggest yes moment? Like, where you're like, okay, things are going well. This is a big one.
I've been doing descriptive narration. I'd love to talk about it. It's a special kind of voiceover that's that goes on top of, it's like a special audio track.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just stuff that you hear that goes on top of a TV show or a movie. And that's something that I've been really focused on for the last, I'd say maybe 5 years or so.
And that's mainly, is it mainly for the blind and hearing impaired?
Absolutely.
And then, but also everyone can use it.
Yeah.
Like you said, like he was actually showing me before the show and I was listening and it is really like an audiobook for a movie. It's so descriptive. That's what I said, but I mean, that's how I describe it, but it is so specific. You're like, you don't even have to look at the screen, but as you even voiced it, we were watching Criminal Minds mm-hmm. on Netflix. I was like, oh, am I allowed to say it? So you were showing me Criminal Minds, and there was a lady even under the cement. What was it called? You said it in the show. What is it called? The
rebar?
What is it called?
Rebar?
Rebar. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, Paul lifts up the rebar.
Right.
And then she gets out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so descriptive that you can actually visualize exactly what's going on.
Exactly.
So anyone can listen to this.
Yeah, one of my friends who's blind has said that before descriptive narration on certain shows, it's not everywhere, but it's on a lot. He used to hear the show, and then he'd go back and read the synopsis or a review of the show to see all the stuff that he missed.
Oh.
So now, you know, he can go to the movie theater, and there's audio description headsets, like wireless headsets, where someone speaks in and describes the things that are happening that, you know, the visual audiences can see.
When's the last time that somebody's recognized your voice from you talking? Does that happen often? I feel like I'd be like, I know that voice.
There's two stories. I'm just going to tell the one. One of my friends who's an on-camera actor, he's done a bunch of soap operas. He and I were traveling through Central California, and we stopped at some restaurant, and there was a person that came over to us and said, I recognize you, talking to my friend. He's like, I've seen you before. And we talked for a little bit. And she's like, I've heard you before. She's like, she should be in casting. Like, she was able to recognize him and hear me. It was great.
That's
was really
crazy,
a fun story.
That you can, like, recognize, I mean, out of the millions of people, even just in Los Angeles, that you know a voice. Is there a community of voiceover artists that you guys all know each other, help each other out?
There is a community, yeah. And I don't know everybody, but it's such a supportive and helpful community, which is kind of really great to be a part of.
And now is, you know, the, what is it called again? The specific line of voiceover work for the descriptive audio, is it called?
Sure. There's three different names. Descriptive narration.
Uh-huh.
Some people call it audio description. Some people call it video description. So it's kind of, it's a catch-all.
Video description makes sense because it's for, you know, visually watching.
Exactly, right?
But you can hear.
So it's visual, it's audio-visual description by a narrator.
It's new. It's like you're telling me the iPhone exists before I even know what it is. And I'm like, what is it? Okay, it's a new thing. So is it, I mean, at this point in time, is it still really brand new, even though you said before we got on that you've been doing it for 5 years now?
It's been around, and there's a lot of the TV stations are having more and more of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of films, obviously, too. But the blind community is used to it. This is how they watch TV.
Yeah.
So what's happening now is, especially with some of the streaming platforms, they have a special, you have to go into it, but it's a special access, like accessibility issue, where you tap here, you tap here, you tap there, and then you turn on audio description.
Yeah.
In the same way that you'd turn on closed captioning if you were deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So the option is, if you're blind, you can experience the full film.
Yeah.
It also, like you were saying, you know, we commute a lot in Los Angeles. It's hard to be driving everywhere. And this is just a great way to appreciate, binge your TV shows while you're stuck
and
in the 405.
And not watching it.
Exactly. It's a little safer.
Now, I also have a friend who does voiceover work, and his dream job was actually to be some of the voices in Grand Theft Auto, the video game.
Oh, wow.
And he actually got it.
Oh, no kid, that's
and
great.
And he was a lot of the pedestrians walking around. Now, what is one of your dream jobs that you haven't received yet that you would love to be a part of?
Oh, that haven't received yet. That's a great question. I got to say, what I do with this descriptive narration, that's my heart and soul, man. That's
what's
where
your dream show to be a part of?
The dream show to be a part of? Oh,
that you get a descriptive audio for.
Let's see. I can name anything?
Anything.
Oh, man, you're like playing my genie here. This is great. Let's go with a Marvel title. Let's go with Disney, so one of the Marvels. Those are high, a lot of action, so there's a lot of pages there.
That'd be a lot of description.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
I mean, have you seen Infinity War?
Not yet.
Because there is a fight scene of like 20 of the superheroes. Uh-huh. How do you go to like Spider-Man hit Captain America? Captain America looked at Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch looked at her and said, "What?" And then she said, that's a lot of description.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I worked on Skyscraper, the Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, yes.
So that was a lot of description. It doesn't get everything. You know, there's no way, like even if you watch a movie, there's no way that your eyes are going to catch everything that's happening. But the way that the writers for descriptive narration do it, it's so amazing. They have a way to make sure that the plot points are there and make sure it fits in between the dialogue. It's really a special skill that they do.
Even for the writers, it's almost like for hosting, for what I do, is like a lot of work goes into the researchers. The researchers have so much work to do to make sure you're on top of everything. And now thinking about it, I'm like, I feel like the movie that would be the hardest to do description audio for would be The Matrix.
Oh, wow, yeah.
How do you describe this? It's special effects.
So much going on.
There's so much going on. Neo bends backwards, bullets fly left shoulder, right shoulder. One hits the knee.
yeah, it definitely gives a sense of it, yeah. But right, it's a whole, like even with you with hosting and research, it's a whole team that comes together.
Whole team. And now, how long, for Skyscraper, for example, you said it's really descriptive for what you had to do, and you sometimes miss some of the things. How many days go into production for your line of work for a film like that?
For my work, it's pretty much done. Like, the film is done.
Yeah.
It's all locked.
Okay.
Like it's picture locked in most cases. It's pretty rare for them to not have it complete. So I'm seeing the screen of the movie, and I've got the script in front of me, and I can be done in 4 hours for a feature film. It's fast, man.
4 hours?
Dude, I don't like to mess up.
What? 4 hours?
Yeah, we got to be fast, man. We got to crank through it.
I see you're even productive with what you do, because every time you've had water, you, like, go away from the mic. I wouldn't think to do that. But you, I think, are in front of a mic so often that you just, like, you know how to buy time. You're like, oh, I can't waste time. They don't want that gulp in there. Let me just get this.
It's sensitive, dude. I'm like, I'm even wearing the wrong shirt. You can hear it. It's
No, I can't hear a thing.
Can I tell you my first experience?
Yeah, please do.
So I was a kid, and my teacher challenged me to introduce myself to someone who had a career that I respected. And there was an equivalent of a DJ at the local radio station. I went to him, and he showed me the mic, and it was angled at such a way that it was like coming down from the top and off.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's so you don't pop your peas. I'm like, what? Wow. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I'd never thought about that. So the technology of, you know, I'm not going to do it now, but like if you get too close to the mic, it picks up on stuff. It's very sensitive.
I don't actually know what pop the peas is.
I can't do it. Steve would be so mad at me. But it's like if you enunciate like a you hear the air's coming out, and that air goes into the microphone, and that just makes a terrible sound.
Hurts the ears a little bit.
And it hurts the mic, and you have to cut around it.
It's not a good vibe. Lose friends through the process.
It's a sure way to lose friends. Pop your peas, lose your friends. It's the more you know.
That's a good one to remember. That's a quote. We're the same, listen. Now, what projects do you have coming up that we can look forward to, that we can actually hear you on?
Oh, great. On my website, I list a lot, and IMDb has most of my credits, but I'm really looking forward to coming back to a few TV shows like Criminal Minds and Lethal Weapon, which has a new actor in it. And NCIS.
Awesome. So you're very crime-based.
I do the crimes.
Police
I know. It's
work.
Like, because it's dark and it's, you know, it's kind of creepy. And so I try to blend in with the environment.
And now is there any like kid stuff that you do?
Yeah, I did. It's Toy Story of Terror, which was a toy story, but it was kind of scary for the kids. So it was a little suspense.
Now, does the voice change from police to like that? Is like, oh, Andy picked up a car.
It is different. It's like I think about I've done some IMAX movies, and that's filled with wonder and awe. And so there's like this epic like openness and like, oh wow, discover, like the feeling that my intentions are, oh, let's discover this or let's figure out this mystery. But then with the Criminal Minds, it's like, oh, this is not good. This is scary stuff that's happening. So I try to bring myself along with the story, because the spotlight's not on me. You keep your attention on the story. I don't want it to be about me. Uh-huh. So I try to stay away, and the way I best stay away is by being a part of it.
And it was very like short and quick inserts too that you showed me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pick this up, put this down. Oh, shot this guy.
It's and they have to fit between the lines of dialogue or the audio. So sometimes there'll be five or six paragraphs where there's no dialogue, and it's just here's exactly what's happening.
Wow. Well, I learned a ton today, actually. Thank you so much for being here. Well,
thanks for having me today.
Now, where can we find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Roy Samuelson, Instagram Roy Samuelson, and Facebook is Roy Samuelson Biz. That's all.
And best advice you have as we go for people looking to get into voiceover work?
Gratitude. Fill yourself with gratitude for every opportunity. How's that?
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. I'm Naveed Marty. This is AfterBuzz TV's Mini Spotlight On. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.